Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We started kind of on time tonight, not on BPT tonight. This is the Sideline Junkies Tuesday Night Flight. Brought to you by the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network and Clear Production Sports. If you haven't noticed, we got a fourth square here. This ain't Hollywood Squares. We got Jack Carr with us for Joe the Fan tonight. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you for having me.
Fellas, big guy KG, let me get my bearings down. The big guy KG, the show's host. Oh, is that way?
Yes.
Is downright?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And the Midnight Rider, the one and only. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Good evening. How are you?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
I told you, game six, Jordan flu game. It came through. Now, I can't guarantee it for the rest of the show, though.
I got you. You good?
Here's the thing, B. Before we get into tonight's sponsorship, what you doing for that? It sounds like you need something to help you out there.
In my darkest times when I'm losing my voice, there's only one go-to, and that's Earl Grey tea.
Oh, yeah.
Make it so.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
See? That's all I need. Shout out to Earl Grey for that. That's been a source of some entertainment for the last couple of days. As far as sponsorship for tonight, Helen Hunt Motors. Only one location near you. Go in and see the sales manager, Tommy Strong. Get you anything you want. We got a no questions asked deal. You want the car? You got cash? We ain't asking no questions. Don't you ask none either. We'll get you what you want.
Don't even pull credit. Don't even worry about that.
Not even a little bit. If you got cash, come on in. We take trade-ins too.
If you ask too many questions, the black link is going to pull up.
And you don't want that to happen. Tommy Strong does not play that game. That's our sales manager. Myself, I am the VP of sales now. So you want a good deal? You need a car to get you from point A to point B? Go to Helen Hunt for it. Thank you. Midnight Rider, let's jump off in this thing. Joe the Fan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, of course, bringing back something we always do, or not always do, but something we do from time to time. I met the guy through All In Sports, shows featuring Lee Ice, Big Dog. We got the man, Jack Carr. Jack, how you doing? How's everything going today?
I'm doing good. Everything's going well today.
All right. So let me start you off with the number one question we always ask. I normally get this order backwards, but it doesn't matter because they both get to the same destination.
All right.
Let's talk about your first sports moment memory. Let's talk about that. So which is like your first memory of sports? Now, I know you might have to go through some scrolls or whatever, but take your time, man.
Yeah. No. I mean, my dad was a big sports guy. Played in the Washington, D.C. Police Boys Club. Played mm-hmm. all basketball, baseball, football. He probably could have played some pro ball if he didn't get drafted. He played ball when he was in the Army. And then when he got released from his duties, ball wasn't a choice. You know, he had to go to work. He had a single mom with six kids. So he went home and worked for the family and ended up being a ball coach and coached me as well. And then he used to work at Redskin games at RFK. And that's probably one of my first sports memories was going to RFK with my dad to watch him play back then the St. Louis Cardinals. And it was a muddy, muddy game. And, you know, the kids love that. I used to love playing in the mud. Kids nowadays ain't going to know how to play in the mud with all this turf they got. It's a shame. It's a shame. You're going to have more fun than playing football in the mud. And So, you know, he would take me there, and we were a stone's throw from College Park. So I was always up on campus, either a basketball game, baseball, football game, going to a camp, stuff like that. And going to that first Redskins game, I remember it, I was probably about 7. And then the next one closest to that, I grew up playing ball in the Bladensburg Edmiston Boys and Girls Club in Bladensburg, Maryland. And it was a family thing for me. My uncle was the president. My dad was a commissioner. My mother was a registration. My aunt worked the snack bar. I mean, the whole club was my family. So I got to say, my first memory of being a ball player got to be there. And I think it was somewhere in 1978, 65-pound football championship. Played up at Prince George's County Sports Park on Lotsford Road. I remember that like yesterday, man. And my best friend was the quarterback, who I still talk to today. And that was probably my first big excitement in sports, was that 65-pound championship. And playing for Bladensburg Boys Club, we went on to win many championships in a lot of different sports. It was fun being on the winning side of things.
Big guy?
So you said something that warmed my heart when you said Bladensburg. I spent 14 years of my life on that side of town.
Okay. So, all right.
And around that time, let me see, that's 78. So that means you was around Thurl Bailey and those guys.
Thurl's about 3 years older than me. Yep.
Man.
Thurl's okay. 3 years older than me. Yeah, I knew Thurl.
Yeah. I've heard stories about him. And the crazy part is, when I went to Bladensburg, you never heard anybody talk about him. It's when I left Bladensburg that I heard everybody talk about how much of a dog he was.
So, yeah, he didn't. He got the all county player, all that. But there was who was it? I can't think of who that big. There was a big scorer in the county, 2 or 3 of his years, and he just overshadowed Thurl. But Thurl did what everybody did the jobs, as they call him, the trash man is what they would say. Do the jobs nobody else wanted to do, and that's what drew him to Valvano over at North Carolina State. And then he had a tremendous career in Utah. I want to say he resides out there now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I heard. So, yeah, we had him. We had Jerome Woodard. He was probably a year younger than Thurl. And then we had a handful of good ballers in my classes, but nothing to go all county. My year, I think we had more better baseball players than basketball players. We sent 2 boys to University of Maryland to play baseball. So that was, you know, Bladensburg doesn't get much pull to sending kids to college. Back in them days, it's not the same as today. You know, back then, you had to do the work. Now you got, you know, you can send videos all over the country. But they got a boy there now. I went to homecoming just past fall, and they got Antonio Gibson's nephew playing at Blade now. And he's nice. Mm. I mean, boy, he had 160 yards in the first half. And I'm not sure what year he is, though. But, yep, they got a decent running back there. We're going back for homecoming. You should come this year.
I've been thinking about it.
The alumni group is going to have DJ, food, everything. I think everybody's asked to give up $20 when they get there. But you're going to be fed. My boy Charles, the Grill King, is going to be on the grill. And DJ Woody's going to be there. DJ Oz is going to be there. You wouldn't believe how many DJs Bladensburg High School put out there.
Oh, believe me. I know about DJ Woody. Oh, goody. That's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Perry says Thurl Bailey's a color commentator for the Jazz now. Mm-hmm. NC State legend. That is absolutely true.
Still staying in Utah, yeah.
BJ?
I got one. Favorite player. Who's your all-time favorite player?
Mine?
Yeah.
Ooh. Got sport? You ain't going to pick what? Sport or nothing?
No sport. Just
that. I'm going to go with it because I wore his number probably till I was 13. I'm going to go Pete Rose. Larry Bird's a close second.
Okay.
But Pete Rose, the way he played the game, man, who runs the first base after a walk, you know? And I try to teach my kids that nowadays. Different reason. I mean, I want him to go too if that catcher plays with the ball. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Pete Rose.
So let's jump into, you just talked about the coaching. You're coaching now. Who do you coach? And what's the age range of the kids you coach?
I coach over here on the Eastern Shore with the Ken Island Youth Baseball Softball Club. I've been affiliated with them now for 13 years. I've been on the board of directors for 10 years, in which I just stepped down last year. I figured 10 years, let's get some new blood, but I want to continue to coach. And I'm a coach's kid, too. You know, my dad coached all sports. We weren't allowed to call him dad on the field. You had to call him coach. I caught myself calling him coach at dinner sometime. But it was just, you know, there's no dad out here. I'm your coach. And I try to handle it the same way out there. I was coaching my daughter. She's a senior in high school now. And I had to switch to softball. That's what I got into this club 13 years ago. I was a softball coach. And there's a lot of difference to learn in the softball and baseball side of things. I mean, first of all, they throw the ball underhand. And there's a couple of rules that I never heard of. You know, you think we're at the age we are, as much ball as we watched, but nah, there's a little difference in the sports. So I coach 12-year-olds?
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, 12U is what I coach. It's been a struggle. What I'm calling it is the COVID blues, you know, because when ball was shut down in 2020, spring of 2020, we had one practice, and then the county said no season. So we shut that down, and in the following season, it was only travel could play, no rec season. That's what I coach. I coach the rec ball. And then the following season, season's open. But we only managed to get 300, 350 registrants, and we're a 500-plus club every day, every night. But since COVID, it hadn't been that way. So I'm calling it the COVID blues. Some of the kids missed out on learning fundamentals at 8, 9, and 10 years old before they get up to here. But I think this year should be the last year for that. It really hurt the progress of some of the kids. Now, like I said, travel is a totally different beast. You know, they raise money and they go to the indoor facilities year round. They can get 4 to 5 practices a week. We're looking at 2 practices a week, but I enjoy it. And what I look for is, you know, progress from day one to day two. You know, fundamentally, you just see them learn. I don't care what our record is. I mean, yeah, everybody does a little bit, but I look to see how much the kids grow as ball players under my tutelage.
Can you elaborate a little bit? What's the major difference between baseball and softball? You touched on it a little bit. Can you give me like two like major differences? Something you had to kind of like change your teaching style or something?
Wasn't teaching style. Well, I guess it could have been on this one. The one is a rule called look back rule. Either of you ever heard of look back rule?
No.
Start describing it.
First time my kid got yanked on it, I'm blowing my mind. You know, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, you hit a base shot through the infield to left field. You go to the first base, you make your turn. The ball gets to the infield. That player has a split second. They either got to decide, am I going back to first or am I proceeding to second? You cannot stand still. You cannot juke. You have a split second. You hit it. It's in the infield. Am I going back? Am I going to second? That's called the look back.
Okay.
Never heard of it. Let me think of something else. Just another part, you know, I've been teaching a certain way to swing the bat to boys. I've been coaching 20 years, and you cannot teach that to girls. The girls got a different swing. Their hands are a little bit lower. Do you guys know why I would have their hands lower?
Now, can you explain that?
They have breasts.
Okay.
Boys don't. You know what I'm saying? Like them boys coming through solid, but the girls got to come through a little lower, and they actually got an upward swing, is what I had been teaching. But, yeah, You got to teach the girls a different swing. I'm trying to keep the hands high, but for a girl, that cannot be done on some that are, you know, more endowed than others, especially when you get up to the age I was coaching, 14-year-olds.
Interesting. That's interesting. Never would have thought of it.
Right. And both of those, I went several seasons without, I mean, without even knowing. And I'm, you know, sitting here griping. Come on. They're like, coach, it don't feel right when I keep my hands up. And I'm sitting there. That's the way I was taught. That's the way it's going to be. But it didn't. It finally came to my mind that they can't come through that area as much as smoothly as a boy can.
Gotcha.
And something that you wouldn't think of.
Gotcha. Midnight Rider.
What kind of style do you think you have? Like, are you a guy, like, are you an aggressive base running type of coach? Are you a
You have to be. You have to be. You live and die by base running. Yes. Good base running is, and I'm aggressive. Yeah. That's why I say some walks, if they ain't paying attention, I'm first to second.
Gotcha.
Other teams say, oh, he's cheating, or, you know, it's not. Pay attention. It's not cheating. If they're not paying attention, I'm gone. I came in because I had taken a little break because I tried to coach in my home club in Bladensburg when I was younger, but I was just babysitting. I was just a babysitter. I was dropping three or four kids off every evening and not seeing parents come to the door to wave me, you know? So that just made me feel terrible. And then I took a little time off and then I came back and I'm an old school coach. But you got to learn how to mix old school with new school if you're going to make everybody happy. Because, you know, and I got to say, that's why I like 11, 12-year-olds. You can be a little easier on how you talk, you know. You get them little youngins, man, they cry just because I got a deep voice, man. And I'm like, take care of that. I can't go much younger than 10, man. So, yeah, I'm old school, but I've mixed in. And it took me a few years to blend into what new school coaches are like. Because you know damn well I can't kick nobody in the butt, right, like used to happen to me. You know, can't line up a row of bats behind them like happened to me. Now I put padded squares behind them in case they fall. So it's a little softer now. And you either learn how to adapt or you don't do it, you know, or someone, because people aren't going to like the way you're doing it if you don't adapt.
So, let's go with Matt's comment.
So Matt's comment. Oh, go ahead, Ben.
Curious your thoughts on all the elbow injuries in MLB. Is it the clock or the fact that younger pitchers are throwing harder and trying to spin more, or both? I actually love this question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's more of an issue where you're doing too much too soon and you're putting way too much torque on the muscle way at an earlier clip, and you don't have these coaches with decent throwing patterns for these kids. So these kids can throw multiple times in a week if they play travel. And they don't get to rest that. They don't get an offseason with travel ball.
Yeah, but this rec league we play in, like I say, I've been in this rec baseball league. This will be my fourth year. I came in the first year, you know, I had my pitch counter ready. I'm like, how many pitches they allowed? You know, what's going on? They're like, no, I just allowed 3 innings. I'm like,
okay. Yeah,
3 innings, but how many pitches? I mean, you can have a bad inning and throw 30.
Right.
You know, and at the rec level, in the Anne Arundel County League I'm in, I'm not saying the other leagues do it the same, but it's innings. They count innings, not pitches. Now, in travel, they count pitches.
Okay.
Don't know why it's different in both, but this travel usually has more pitches, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard sometimes, but I'm blessed. I got 4.
So let's talk about coaches. You said you're a coach's kid.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me like a coach or two that was just an influence on you. You can go from your playing career or just coaches you watched.
Well, I had a coach that was a neighborhood dad. It was Mr. Hall, Roger Hall, Big Roger, as the older people called him. We called him Mr. Hall. He wasn't the best athlete in any sport he coached or anything, but I think he was the best man in any sport that I had a coach like that. I mean, he was just so so good to us. And in the neighborhood, it was the same way. I mean, he'd be first to come throw a foot in our butt if we're screwing up. But he's also was there to pat you on the shoulder if you're doing something good. And Mr. Hall, he just passed a couple years ago. I'm still friends with his son and his daughter. Yeah, Mr. Hall was one of them. Mr. Carper was another. He's on Facebook. I'm in touch with him. And then probably my father. Honestly, my father's right there, number one. My dad, I knew he was a good athlete growing up. Just from little bits he would share, he wasn't one. He wasn't like me, you know. He didn't boast or nothing.
Yeah.
he didn't. I learned more about my father's playing days after he passed, and I sat down and had lunch with his boys. And, I mean, one year they brought all these photos, you know. And you know when you see a team photo, who's the guy standing in the middle holding the ball? Usually the star of the team, right? And he was doing that every time. So one time I was sitting there with his buddies. We used to eat lunch up in Bowie at the Applebee's. And I said, "What's up with my dad? He's on the end of the line. He looks like he's mad." He goes, "Oh, yeah, that year they took pictures after the championship game." I said, "Well, Cecil, it looks like y'all lost." He said, "We did. Your dad was pissed." And I could just see that, me and him right there. I would have been the same way. So, yeah, my father's definitely number one. But Mr. Carper and Mr. Hall, for two different reasons. I mean, Mr. Carper was a dog now. He'll run you. He'll kick you. He'll tell you. But Mr. Hall, he knew how to talk to kids. And he also was an umpire and a referee for U Sports, too. So we've seen him all the time.
So let's cover your professional teams. Or let's cover your teams, like sports where you have favorite teams. You just list them off.
I like my Duke Blue Devil basketball. And Duke baseball ain't doing too bad lately. Yeah, look at you fools. Look at y'all. I like Boston Celtics. We're getting number 18 here soon. Come on, fellas.
Come on, Jack. You're killing me.
I do like some home cooking, but every white kid in the 80s likes the Celtics, man.
Yeah. He got a point.
Come on, man. You either Chris Mullins or Larry Bird.
See, I'm going to ask this question because I know what your answer is going to be. You're going to agree with me. If Bias does not pass away in 87, in 86, do the Celtics beat the Lakers in 87?
They should.
He didn't even sound confident. He's not sure.
You know what's the Lakers? Larry probably be in better health with Lenny playing the full first year. Larry would have probably been in better health than he was in that series. I mean, you see the man laying down on the sideline half the game. Think what he would have been like if he didn't have to play that grueling of a schedule with Lenny sitting there, you know, just helping Lenny groove into the NBA, man. I think having a mentor like Larry Bird, we might not be talking about Mike.
Exactly.
And I'm a Mike fan, too. It's hard to like Mike being from Carolina, but, yeah, Jordan was the best I ever seen play.
He's knocking them off today, baby.
And then I like the Orioles. I like the Baltimore Orioles. And the Washington team. I like Washington football. I refuse to say the C word because it's ridiculous. And, hell, I call them Washington Skins. That's what they are. And hockey, I don't mess around hockey too much till playoff hockey. Ain't no hockey like playoff hockey. I like the Caps.
Speaking of which, real quick update. Caps 2, Rangers 2, 12 minutes left in the second period. It looks like the Caps are – oh, no, this is 5-on-5. Never mind. I thought they were on a power play.
Where are they at? Series. I didn't even see. Is this the first?
So this is game 2. This is game 2 of the series.
And we lost.
1-0.
Yeah, and in football, I also was a little bit of a Cleveland Browns fan back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, because my Bladensburg team, we didn't have no decal on our helmet. So I was watching football with my dad. I'm like, who's that? He's like, Cleveland Browns. I was like, oh, I like that. They don't have no sticker like we don't have a sticker. So I followed them through like the Brian Sipes, the Pruitts, you know, through them days. Yeah, and I cheered for them this year in the last couple of years. They're putting something together there finally. I like, what's his name? Stamowski, the coach?
Stamowski, yeah.
Yeah, I like that cat.
You might be one of the only few people that do, because when I
listen to tell you, the Cleveland Browns and the Redskins, during that time period, 70s, 80s, they were so similar. You know, the Redskins had the hogs. The Browns had the dogs. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they were diehard fans. And I saw a lot of similarities in the Redskins and the Cleveland Browns back in them days.
Oh, you still say it now. I mean, Cleveland's got, what, 30 quarterbacks in, like, the last 20-some-odd years? And the Commanders got about 20 themselves?
Yeah, so and Baker's balling in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and then what's the other one they both do?
Cam.
The radio. When they're on the radio shows, I mean, everybody calls and they hate the coach and they love the backup.
We'll see Thursday. I am really curious to see what goes down in first five picks Thursday.
Speaking of Thursday, the NFL draft. Thursday, was it 8 p.m.?
8 p.m.
Let's talk about those first five. Give us your mock first five. We got some music.
You want to take me first five?
Yeah. What you think? How you think the first five is going to go?
You don't like this. I'm gonna say Caleb. JJ is going to go to the Skins, I believe. I do believe that. I think they're going to shake it up, man. And they're not too happy with Jalen anyway, because Jalen's pitching a gripe because the Washington team invited more quarterbacks than just him. Have you guys heard that?
I got wind of that.
I don't get it. Why are you mad? I mean, I guess maybe in his mind he thought he was a lock. But, yeah, I think they're going to go with JJ McCarthy.
Because we talked about this a little bit Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Talk me through your JJ McCarthy. Like, what do you like about him? What makes you think it's going to happen?
He's a big guy.
Okay.
I think he's great in the pocket. He has good footwork back there. I think that was a nice ball.
Yeah, totally. I think
I don't want to do a threat. There's too many more chances to be injured playing dual threat.
See, I was going to say, I like, and I listened to an interview, and if you haven't had a chance, I think Schlereth is on with Doc and Chris Russell today on the show, and they got it on the podcast. They got it earmarked. But Schlereth said something that I picked up from him last year, where you talk about being under center, having a quarterback that doesn't have to look over to the sideline and look at the pictures to get the next play. Like, McCarthy's a guy that can call his own plays, control the game. He can run out of a 2x2, a 2x3, whatever the different set formations are. He's used to that type of thing, and he's used to being under center. And if you heard me talk about C.J. Stroud last year, like, the fact that he's under center helps him with his footwork and gets his feet married up with the passing game. So I heard that today, and I was like, maybe I'm going to like McCarthy more. I'm still not sold yet. I'm still a Daniels guy, but – like, I'm getting some reasons to actually start consider J.J. McCarthy.
Well, I think Daniels is going to go to New England.
See, and I got McCarthy going to New England. So I got Caleb, Daniels, mm-hmm. McCarthy.
We just flip on that.
Right.
And then Arizona's going to grab one of them wide receivers. I would get Odunze, but I think they're going to go after the boy from the Colts' son, Harrison.
Harrison Jr.
You're not the first one to say Odunze either. A lot of people
have been
flipping on Marvin Harrison Jr., but a lot of people like Odunze.
Yeah, and you got neighbors too over at LSU. That boy fast. But
yeah, they're gonna be interesting. I think neighbors goes next at five to the Chargers. Because the Chargers have to get something on the outside. And they can start bringing that money down.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The Chargers are going to get one of them wide receivers as well. I just don't know which one. Dunze might fit in better in LA. I mean, he's West Coast.
They do like taller receivers, so he could be the if his comp is like if they're comping him and they comp him to like a Keenan Allen, then that would be the perfect fit to send him to Los Angeles. I don't know why I keep saying San Diego.
Right. So I think Odunze and Penix have been underrated this whole time.
I just don't understand how with Penix, everybody forgets the Indiana tape, and like they make it seem like he's not a mobile quarterback. The dude is a heck of an athlete.
Trying to judge him for that bowl game they lost.
Right.
Two games out of he's been rolling good for two seasons now. And they got this Tulane quarterback rated higher than Penix. That's ridiculous.
Is that Pratt?
I don't even know who he is. Yes, Michael Pratt, 6'3", 220.
I'm going to throw this little fuzzball in here. Do y'all think that Jim Harbaugh is throwing a curveball to put JJ in that top four so what he wants comes to the Chargers?
Is he throwing a curveball? No, I think I think we said it before. I think this is partly some of that Brock Purdy effect, where you're going to find you a guy that's just good all around, can do all the little things. So, I think that's why the coaches love him. The coaches love him because you put him on the whiteboard and you give him a play. And I'm telling you right now, because he played with Harbaugh, he's going to know most of the concepts that you throw at him.
And I get that. I'm just, where's his ceiling at? Is he coming into league and he's going to reach his peak at the end of the year and that's it for him? Whatever you get, whatever he's, however ready he is, that's it for him versus a higher ceiling for Daniels or Drake May?
Oh, that's a great question.
Daniels, no. May, yes. I think May's got some stuff to learn. I mean, isn't Daniels a five-year guy?
Yeah, he's a five-year guy.
And May's three, I believe.
Yep, you're right.
That's the only thing I had to say about that. I think Daniels being 5 years, he's got more game time under his belt than May. I think May has some learning to do. But he's got a hell of an arm. He's got a cannon.
I think J.J. McCarthy is nothing but a glorified A.J. McCarron.
Wow.
Woo! McCarron. Whoa. Talking about Bama's. Alabama. No. I don't think it'll ever be that bad.
We didn't even get the yell drive by. And nobody saw the car.
Don't get me wrong.
And then you got other guys that spent their time there. Bo Nix. I don't know what he's gonna do.
I think Bo Nix will be a guy that's going to end up being in the league for 10 years.
He's got high completion percentage. His completion percentage for the last 2 years is plus 74%. That's
good. Yeah, but when you're throwing a lot of bubbles.
Thinking, yeah. So.
But here's the thing. With Bo Nix and completion percentage, that's Ken Anderson. And you complete 70% of your passes. That's Ken Anderson right there. Ken Anderson was a very effective quarterback running the West Coast offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Ken Anderson wasn't throwing bubble screens left and right.
He stole quick slants.
Okay. Yeah, 5 yard slants a lot. Collinsworth coming across.
Yeah, because remember, they started running the West Coast offense. That's where it was invented at.
Yeah, and San Diego ran it too after that.
Get to a couple comments real quick. Matt said, you guys going live for the draft? That would be awesome. I'm not privy to Thursday activity just yet. So
yes, we're going live. Every year, that's a yearly tradition. We are going live.
They got the draft party down at the casino on the Potomac.
Ooh.
Yeah. Matt, that football team in Washington.
Matt giving an update. Rangers scoring a soft penalty call on a power play. 3-2 Rangers. Come on, Capitals.
Caps, C-A-P-S.
Jeez.
I don't think the Caps got it this year. What a seed did they come into the playoffs as?
They were the last team in.
I thought.
They were eight.
Yeah. This hasn't been a bunch of hoopla with the Caps this year. I don't think they're going to stay too long.
Willie about to get in a fight. I think this is a good year for the Caps because they got a lot of young guys up and got a lot of young guys to play. So they don't have to be concerned like going forward. They've kind of answered some of those questions.
It's a good year to get some experience.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that was what I was worried about. It's like, are you concerned about one and done out of the playoffs or building the future? You get some vets out. Maybe or some guys that can be on loan for another playoff team to help them and get some capital back. But you know, we'll see how they do it. It's not game not over yet.
Well, then they get to free up some money in free agency because they got a couple guys coming off of the books. And then they've got a bunch of draft picks. So they've got the draft capital to move around to make things work. So they could definitely have an influx of adding a couple guys, like move Carmack Michael down to the second line, probably where he's more natural fit, instead of on the first line where he replaced Backstrom. So they got some options.
Mm-hmm.
Matty Ice has a lot of injuries on their D2 right now.
Yeah, they got two guys out. They did morning skate, but they had the non-contact jerseys on. They're hoping they can get them back for, Sunday? No, Friday. For Friday. Oh, we got a hot stick. That might not be good.
Let me ask a question since we're talking draft. now, we talking about what happened in Washington and Jaden Daniels upset that they brung more than one quarterback in. Have these kids become too soft? Like, you're being invited in. You got the one-on-one time with the coaches, with the position coaches and all the coaches. You got the one-on-one time. You got to speak with everybody. We're coming down to the point where it's the week of the draft. Just like they have to prepare their boards, you got to get prepared as well. They bring everybody in. Is that just like a soft-hearted excuse, or you think it's a smokescreen?
Marshmallow.
I think it's a little bit of everything. I mean, I don't put anything past this move. I think some of it comes from a soft standpoint. Some of it comes from a standpoint of, I mean, we're in Lion season, so let's bring out as many stories as we can get. And let's see what sticks. You know, there's a chance that none of this was done. He said none of this, but, you know, some guy with a keyboard made a story, and here we are talking about it.
They should be honored to be invited, first of all, first and foremost. They should be honored.
Totally. Totally agree.
That's how I feel.
Should be, but it's not 20 and 30 years ago. It's a different ball game. And you got to adapt and play the ball game. And, you know, you got to have seat warmers and, you know, juice at a certain temperature and their favorite snacks and shoes. And
I hear you.
You know? So, I hear you. Gentlemen, what we jumping to next? Are we finished with the NFL? We got anything else? Or we going to jump to these the NBA playoffs?
Playoffs? Before y'all get happy on the playoffs, I know y'all want to get there. Yeah. Just one quick question, I guess. Actually, two questions. First one, I know we've talked Commanders. I know that's a bad word for some of y'all, but we've talked about the Commanders and them taking the quarterback at one. They have probably four more picks. What positions are you targeting with these next four picks, 36, 40, 67, and 78?
O-line, maybe a tight end, some corners.
KG?
From what I heard from a trusted source is that with this number two pick, they're going to pick a quarterback there, but then they're also going to use a package of picks to trade back into the first round. And they're going to pick the best offensive lineman available.
Okay.
Best offensive lineman on the board, the boy from Notre Dame. Joe Alt. Boy's a horse. And he, I mean, let alone size, he's got the speed too for a big guy. I think he'll be the first lineman off the board. Who's going to get him? I don't know.
This is when
I would love to pair him and Quentin Nelson together.
Ooh, Yeah, that'd be sweet.
This is when you're going to see who does their homework, okay? If you're getting a quarterback that high, you got to you got to protect him. That's the line. Yes. But you have to get him somebody. And you know, you got Terry there, but you got to get that blanket, that receiver he can go to. And it could be Terry, but you have to get him some help because you see what happened in Chicago with Fields. If you don't get no help, he's just going to stand back there and get demolished.
Well, what's the young in Washington just got, what's the quarterback we just got that the Skins, or I'm sorry, that Washington just let go that was a star?
Sam Howell.
I don't know why I was saying Daniels. If Sam Howell had a little more protection, his numbers weren't bad for how many times he was sacked. I don't know why they let him go. Look at you. I like you guys. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, though? If he could have stayed upright more, I'm not saying they would have won a lot more games, but his numbers were already decent because he was playing mop-up a lot. But, damn, you can't get sacked 90 times in a season. You can't. I don't care who you are. So I don't think – I know the problem wasn't all on quarterback. Majority of the problem was on our line, and it was injured too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think get the quarterback you want now because you need one. I don't feel they needed a quarterback. But when you get new ownership, shaking things up, sometimes they want to get their guy. And, you know, so they got to get line. They did good in the free agency. Don't get me wrong. They got that boy from the Cowboys, nice, plays center and guard. Mm-hmm. They got another lineman. They've done well so far. Let's hope Washington doesn't screw it up in the draft.
And that's why I was saying homework, because you can go get that guy, tight end, wide receiver, after you address your quarterback, you address offensive line, you can go get that guy. If you've been doing your homework and you know who's there, maybe call Mike Tomlin. He got a good thing for receivers. But if you find somebody else that can really help this offense move once you solidify the quarterback and the offensive line, I think this team, instead of taking a baby step, they'll take a little leap forward.
Yeah, they need to. They really do. Not just for the fans, just for the franchise in general. They need to take a leap, man. It's been an ugly almost 30 years.
Yep. Absolutely.
So they can get a playmaker in the third, fourth round.
Absolutely.
Easily.
They're not going to get none of the top four playmakers. That's just done. You're not getting them. But I like that boy Brock Bowers from Georgia. He's not a big tight end, but he can play the slot. He can play outside, and he can block for a smaller tight end. And his hands are money. And then Jatavion Sanders over at Texas is nice too. I like.
Now you talking. Now you talking.
I know. I'll try to figure it out. But I like Thomas a lot. I mean Sanders, Jatavion Sanders.
Yep. Yeah, that's the old team name. Texas has some names down there. But another kid that's kind of on the radar in that third round is a kid named Malachi Corley. Wide receiver, and like Ricky Pearsall from Florida. That's another kid I like. So it's some guys out there. You can get your wide receiver in a little bit. I think the part I'm gonna be curious about is if they don't make the move up, and they're in that early range, like a guy like a Kool-Aid McKinstry, who we thought may go late first.
His name.
Huh?
I love his name, man.
Mm-hmm. He's a guy that he looks to be dropping into the second tier of DBs, so he could be there. There's a kid named, I think it's TC or TJ Tampa from Iowa State. So there's some guys there like in that second, third round that might be an option. And quick update, Rangers score 4-2 now.
Dang it.
And it's left in the second. Yeah, it's a bad turnover.
Obi turns the puck over in the range to get a shorty 4-2.
Yeah. Yeah. Goalie had no chance.
Man, I write it. Did you have another question?
No, we're good now. I'll let y'all go ahead because I know you want to get to your fun.
Nah, it's no fun yet. No fun yet. Nope. NBA playoffs.
Yeah, man.
Let me ask y'all this before we get into the NBA playoffs. Let me ask you this. How much does the NBA need what's going on now? Because we've been talking all year about how bad this NBA product has been on the court. But right now, between Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, and Jamal Murray hitting the shot last night, this is must-see TV right now. Is this the shot in the arm they needed? Is this going to bring the people back? You want to say hi?
Hey, all right. Yeah, I don't know if it is or not, man. I mean, I got a good handful of friends that stopped watching basketball after March Madness because they're giving up on the NBA, man. I think NBA, they play too many games, man. Remember that strike year they had and they played, what, 48, 50 games?
I think they played 54.
Yeah, that seemed just right to me because NBA now – they don't start playing until the end of the year when playoffs start and all that load management. And I got to take a day off. My finger hurts. It just drives me crazy.
I think that's a consensus with a lot of people. A lot of people old school that watch, you know, the 70s, 80s, and the 90s. And, you know, big guy KG watched the 60s. But, you know, I think that's because a lot of it just – the, for lack of a better word, the softness where it got to is just like, this isn't what I used to watch. This ain't the same game. But I will give them a little drizzle because Anthony Edwards is that guy for me. Nice. I love watching him play. He's a monster.
He's nice.
And then just kind of seeing the drama unfold. And no, I ain't trying to make no fun, but just the whole LA Denver thing because LA wanted them. LA said something about them last year. They wanted to play them again.
Denver going to sweep them.
Man, they lost a 20-point lead last night. Because I saw the 20-point lead. I was like, that's over. They going to get one in Denver, and we're going to have a little series. And I wake up seeing Jamal Murray hit the shot over somebody that's complaining that he's not in the defensive player of the year race.
But the Lakers' time clock management was terrible at the end of that game.
I mean, a lot of ill-advised shots.
Yes, with a lot of time on the shot clock.
Here's something.
LeBron. He's not running the O.
I seen this stat, and this stat said Jordan never lost a 20-point fourth quarter, a 20-point lead in the playoffs, a 15-point lead in the playoffs. He's never lost to the same opponent 12 straight times. And I thought about it. I was doing dishes, and I thought about it. I said, we got to stop. Not we, but people have to stop comparing LeBron's career to Jordan in that aspect because it's two different eras. Outside of, you know, MJ in the 90s playing the Clippers, every other team outside of the Clippers in the 90s had a face of the franchise that was the pretty big deal. In New York, you had Ewing. Outside of the Clippers and the Bullets,
Detroit, you had the Bad Boys,
right? You had somebody to go up against. Now with LeBron, he's 39 years old and he's doing this with AD and a bunch of ragtags. D-Lo shows up sometimes. He showed up last night. Game one, they didn't show up. They kind of left him on his own. And LeBron played very, very well last night. And whenever he plays well, people still give him a rational, you know what, because they lost. But everybody else, it's a team loss. But LeBron has to take the brunt of that loss individually. But the thing is, this cat has been willing teams to the finals and limping them to the finals. He took a mop, a bucket, a trash can, and two trash bags to the finals in Cleveland before. He can't do that at 39. You're expecting too much.
You know why I don't have sympathy for that argument? Because he chose this destination. He handpicked this.
He chose all his destinations.
He said, give me the Lakers.
Yes.
I'm getting on the jet. He chose this.
Yeah. No, he chose them all. I quit Cleveland. I'm going to South Beach. I quit South Beach. I'm going back home. I quit this. I'm going to the Lakers. Man, you wouldn't see Magic and Bird ever say, hey, you want to play together? Never.
Why is Mr. Laker quiet? Come on, Mr. Laker.
Oh, I didn't know this through the time I've known you. Oh. Oh, you don't like my green hat.
No comment.
He just buying time until he got it. He got so his asshole's jersey on.
Quiet. Nah, because they've been wanting to do this all day long. So I'm letting them get this out.
Lakers are getting swept.
Nah.
Yes, sir. They're not even winning one at home.
Yes, we are. We won a game.
I'm on your side, Midnight Rider. I'm rolling with you. Because I got faith in the Lakers. But the thing is, you cannot deny that AD for 3.5 quarters. Three-fourths of a quarter of a game, he played a almost nearly perfect game. He balled out last night. It's always the supporting cast.
I hate you. It doesn't matter. It only matters when it counts. That's when the greats come to play.
Okay, wait. Hold on. It only matters when it counts, right?
When it counts.
Okay, let me commit a little bit of blasphemy here. Everybody always talks about Jordan's 63-point game in the Boston Garden. The Bulls lost that game.
I'm talking about coming through when it counts. Like, here's how beautiful karma is sometimes. He just complained about not getting acknowledged for Defensive Player of the Year. You make your case by blocking that shot.
He couldn't get to it. He was falling out
of bounds. Of course he couldn't. That's why he's not in the Defensive Player of the Year consideration, because he continuously does stuff like that on top of not ever playing.
He played 76 games this season.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Very much surprised. So don't erase that stigma off him that he's not playing.
Mm.
The dude put in work last night. The Lakers put in work, but the supporting cast let them down.
And their defense.
Clock management. See, here's the problem. They don't have – now, normally, you know, great coaches, Chuck Daly, Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, you go to a shorter bench when you come to the playoffs. Darvin Ham is trying to go 5, 6, 7 deep. Bro, you got to play your dogs and that's it. But you can't burn out your two superstars.
No.
He's playing them at, what, 42 minutes per game in the playoffs right now? You can't burn them out right now. This is only the first round.
Yeah. No, and Hachimura didn't help either.
You got to play. I mean, the problem they've had is the additional guys. You just said Hachimura didn't play well. When he turns into LeBron Curry, he gets a little carried away, taking bad shots. I mean, I think last night was one of those situations where they gotta get it together, man. That's why I think I thought they could steal last night. I thought we could. And when you don't get that one, it makes it harder for 3 and 4. But I still think we're going to win in 6. So
they still got to play defense. Like I said, when they was up like that, it was mostly because Denver wasn't hitting no shots. Well, because they were defense or getting steals, Lakers got to play defense.
Real quick update. We got, if I can get back to it, I don't know what I did. It's coming. Hold on. No diddy. Right now, halftime, the Suns are leading. The Timberwolves 51-50. Minnesota leads that series 1-0. Milwaukee leads the series 1-0 after a spectacular Dame performance. The Pacers up 24-21 in the first quarter, 2 minutes left. We got Mavericks and Clippers, 10 p.m. tonight. The Clippers lead that 1-0. Tomorrow, 7, Heat and Celtics. Boston leads that 1-0. OKC leads their series 1-0. They go off, tip off tomorrow at 9:30. Let's see, the Knicks and the 76ers. Knicks lead that 2-0. Cavaliers and Magic. The Cleveland Cavaliers lead that 2-0. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Lakers and the Nuggets. The Nuggets lead this series 2-0.
Yeah, I got you.
JoJo said winning 6. LOL. Poor Midnight Rider. Here's the thing. You said something about the Knicks and the Sixers. So they did a report and they said, oh, well, that was a foul on Tyrese Maxey and Nick Nurse should have got his timeout. I don't feel he should have got the timeout. Because the thing is, if you don't have possession of the ball, you can't call timeout. Your team did not have possession. They were scrambling around the floor for the ball. When he was calling timeout at first, they didn't have possession. No possession was established.
I don't like the last 2 minutes of these games. Like it's almost too much dependency or depending too much on the tape, the video. So yeah, I don't know about that.
And everybody likes to go, well, the refs didn't call this, the refs didn't call that. I remember a point in time when you got down to the last 2 minutes, you never really got a call because everybody's trying to get the hell out of it. It wasn't going to be no call that you were going to be allowed to play. Learn how to play through. If they call it, they call it. They don't, they don't. You still got a job to do. Sitting in press conferences, crying and complaining about the refs. Oh, I'm going to file a grievance. Yo, that's punk moves right there.
Well, I mean, come on. That's part of the NBA playoffs. Ever since, I mean, you can go back to Phil and the Bulls. You can go back to
Phil and the Bulls and what? When have we ever? Because when? When do we ever cry at the end of the game?
It's the Phil. I call it the Phil Jackson. You get in the press conference. You start talking about the refs right away in any press conference you get. Phil was famous for doing it because Phil was planting the seed for the next game and trying to get his call. Whatever his call was, he tried to get it. Don't be mad because Phil did it. He did it when he was in L.A. It's just something he did, and like coaches have taken that part of his playbook.
When he was in L.A., Phil was whipped. He wasn't like that in Chicago because he had a cabin built around a tree in Montana. He was a mountain man when he was in Chicago. He was Hollywood when he was in L.A. He didn't complain about things like that. Why?
Woo. Okay.
You had to put your shield up when you start talking about the Bulls. I'm sorry. I didn't want
irrational. Goodness. Woo. Phil is famous for, you know what? I'm just going to just.
Phil did that.
With like Phil Jackson post game comments. So you can just see that he wasn't a mountain man, as you say.
Didn't hurt he had four first ballot Hall of Famers.
You don't want to talk about that.
What four first ballot Hall of Famers did he have? What you talking about in Chicago and LA? Both. Just all together.
All together.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Actually, it's five, but I give you that.
Who's the fifth?
Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Kobe, Shaq.
Rodman. Okay.
Yeah.
Matty Ice said every coach in every sport tries to work the officials.
Thank you, Matt.
Phil didn't.
Yes, he did. Don't
say me neither. They didn't have the ball. They just got to play. It's the playoffs. See, JoJo's on the. Come on, JoJo's with me. She says, "Well, the coach ain't the players." Crying and stomping away at the post game. Yeah, I was really upset and disappointed with LeBron and AD off of that. Jamal Murray hit the shot, put the mic down, get up and leave. Dog, maybe, just maybe, if, you know, I always said this about teams that want to run up and down the floor during the playoffs. Maybe, just maybe, if you're up by 15, 20, 10, you go into a half-court set where you kind of sort of play stall ball, but you work to get a better shot. Because if you're putting up two, and then they're going down there putting up two, and then you're putting up two, you're still up. Because the object of the game is to score more points than the other team. That's the object.
Unless you're the Lakers and you're up 20.
Well, their clock management was terrible last night. Terrible at the end of the game.
Just poor.
But why are you surprised about how LeBron and AD acted in the press? That's who they've proven themselves to be.
Yeah. No, I was disappointed. I meant disappointed.
Why are you disappointed? That's who they've proven themselves to be. Crybabies.
That's the problem. Because basically, that's okay. You didn't give me my call. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
He's been doing it for years.
And I've never liked that. Now, granted, it's sometimes you miss blatant. Referees are human. Officials are human. They're going to miss calls. And sometimes they miss blatant calls. But in a press conference, getting up, walking out, slamming the mic down like the press did something to you? No. If that's the case and you feel that you didn't get a call or the officials influenced the game, then the next four games, I need you to come out and blow the Nuggets out by 30. That way you don't have to worry about the officials. Yeah. LeBron need to come out and score 60.
Give him this.
Hey.
Remove all tissues. I give him that for what he's done in the game. But he is a crybaby. Cries after every drive to the hole. If he put that crying into playing, going back and playing defense, maybe even be a better ball player. He cries too much. And the whole world sees it now. I guess BC don't see it.
I'm not a LeBron fan. I see.
He cries.
That's fine. That's fine with me.
The Midnight Rider he's a purple and gold guy. If it's good for the purple and gold, that's all he cares about. Whoever's on the ship, as long as you can keep the ship, the engine's going and we eating and we kept you. That's all we care about.
Yep.
That's all we care about. What we got next, big guy?
Oh, man, it's time to wrap it up.
Well, I think there's going to be three sweeps. Boston's going to sweep Miami. Cleveland's going to sweep Orlando. And Denver's going to sweep the Lakers.
I would like to throw the Knicks in there as well. I think the Knicks are going to sweep.
I was iffy on that. You never know. Max, you can get off, put 50 up, and get one win.
The only reason why most improved player that he edged out Kobe White for most improved player.
The only reason why I think Denver won't sweep the Lakers is because what Midnight Rider just said about Phil Jackson, LeBron did it in the press conference. And the next game in LA, he's going to go to the free throw line at least 20 or 25.
Oh, yeah.
At least 20 or 25 times. And AD's probably going to be up there probably 15 times.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's funny you say that. It's a gentleman I follow, big Boston Celtics fan. His name is Honest Larry on Twitter. Huge Boston Celtics fan. He was talking about the free throw disparity between the Lakers and everybody else. He was like, the Lakers are going to the line 20, 25 times a game while the Celtics was only getting to the line maybe 9, like to end the season. He was like, you can't have this disparity. And it's like a lot of teams are only going to the line 6, 7 times. And a lot of stuff's not getting called. But you have your marquee teams going to the line 25, 30 times a game.
Come on, let's also be real about this. These guys shoot 60 threes in a ball game. So when are you getting fouled? Like, you're not going to the rim. That's the problem is, I mean, Boston basically runs a 4 out. So they got everybody around the perimeter. You got Porzingis on one corner. You got a bunch of guys out there just around the basket, just shooting everything up.
Jack Wagner says, Lakers need role players to step up. LeBron and AD are doing their part. That's where D'Lo comes in. That's where Hachimura is supposed to come in, because Hachimura is supposed to be reborn in L.A., right? Spencer Dinwiddie, that's where he comes in at.
He ain't doing nothing.
Not a thing.
That's my guy right there, Jack Wagner. He just tuned in, so he didn't hear the answers we said earlier to that about the bench needing to step up. So what's up, J-Dub?
Where's Gabe Vincent? Where's Cam Reddish? Where are these guys at? You got these guys, and they're not doing anything.
Cam Reddish hasn't done anything since the play-in tournament.
Yeah, Cam Reddish.
I'm sorry, the in-season tournament. He was in Duke.
Yeah.
What well, they always said to Cam was that kid that he has all the talent. He just doesn't have the motor.
Yeah.
Jack Wagner said agreed they're not showing up. JoJo said, but you got to drive the ball. If you're taking 53s, you're not getting a bunch of fouls. But that's
true.
That's a problem in itself. Taking 53s, you're not playing the game right. I don't care what this new stuff is. I don't care what analytics say. You're not playing the game right. Like, you got kids that don't know what a finger roll is. They don't know how to lay the ball up. Nobody knows what a mid-range shot is anymore. You got bigs that can't play on the block. I mean, don't get me started. And Jack Wagner said, agreed, they're not showing up. D'Lo did his thing last night, but they all disappeared in the fourth quarter. And that's what Jack said. The offense just went stupid. They were stuck on stupid in the fourth quarter.
I couldn't believe it.
And Jack Wagner says agreed. Now, before we get out of here, I want to ask Jack a question.
So,
are we going here? I knew it.
Oh my God.
Greatest MVP race of all time?
I knew it.
What you want here? MVP?
Don't you think this is the greatest MVP race of all time, in my opinion? They don't like when I talk about it. Yeah, but I think it was the greatest MVP race of all time.
That's pretty nice. What year is this?
62.
Yeah, because I don't even know. Who's the boy in the Cincinnati uniform?
That's Pettit. With the Hawks. You got
Cincinnati.
That's Oscar.
Ooh, he's skinny there. Okay. Yeah, that's something else there. Woo wee. I didn't know about that.
See?
But you know I had to go with Bill.
I'm more partial. I mean, you know, I thought Rabbit should have won that because, you know, you putting up a triple-double like that. But it's cool. I just wanted to throw that out there. I like to mess with the Midnight Rider with that because he never wants to talk about it. And I say we need to sit down and have a discussion about it, but he never wants to discuss it.
He don't want to discuss.
You know, we're gonna do that commercial, BJ.
Yeah. I mean, we gonna have to. We talking about the 62 MVP race every other week.
I mean, you gotta keep these things in rotation, man, because they gonna get lost one day. People gonna be like, oh, 1999 was the greatest MVP race. No, you got to pull up the stats for 62. That was the closest and greatest MVP race.
You know what the best MVP race is? What's that? Karl Malone beat Jordan out.
But they gave it to Karl Malone because he cried.
That was Mike's.
He took it from MJ.
That was Mike's. No, he didn't. Karl Malone was crying. They decided to throw some up there in Mormonville, give him an award.
If he would have kept his mouth shut, he might have won a championship.
Right.
All right.
Take us home, BJ.
Hey, look. All right, Jack, appreciate it.
Anytime.
I'm about to tell you, anytime.
All you got to do is hit me. I'm here. I love it.
10-4. The big guy, KG, the Midnight Rider. I'm the boss, B. We do overtime. We can't even say the same tonight. We do overtime. Get to that last comment, Jack. Great show, guys. Keep up the good work. Appreciate that, Jack.
One of my biggest fans, right there.
Hey, man.
We're up across the street from each other.
Cool. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Hey, I told you the voice came back. Jordan flu game. I pulled through. Now it's time for it to go disappear somewhere under some choice beverage and some sticks. So for the Sideline Junkies Tuesday night flight, Joe the Fan, I think we out of here. You got it, KG?
I got you.
All right, we out of here. Make it so.